As the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please kindly keep your Bibles open to John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ here says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this is the verse from which our theme this evening is taken from, where the Lord Jesus Christ declares, I am the light of the world. The account that we have here is where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone up early in the morning to the temple. And there he has been teaching the people who gathered in this temple. And as he was teaching them, the scribes and the Pharisees, wanting to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, brought a woman who was caught in adultery. According to them, they say that it's caught in the very act. And they wanted to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ because they said that according to the law of Moses, this woman was to be stoned. But the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what was in their heart, he exposed their hypocrisy by saying that those who among you who are without sin, let him first cast a stone. And when they were pricked in their conscience, the scribes and the Pharisees, each of them departed one by one. And after that, the Lord Jesus Christ saw that only the woman was left there, standing in the midst of the people. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching in the temple. So this whole scene transpired as he was teaching in the midst of the temple. So now the woman was standing there alone. And the Lord Jesus Christ then declared and said unto her, Where are thine accusers? And she says, That there are none. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, No man condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And it's in this context where the Lord Jesus Christ, having exposed and confronted the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, and when the Lord Jesus Christ has also shown his forgiveness and given to this woman a new lease of life, where he now declares, I am the light of the world. But what was the significance of this claim? And why was this claim so powerful that you notice later on that the Pharisees reacted to this claim of the Lord Jesus Christ? Although not in our text this evening, but in verse 13, referring to the Pharisees who perhaps were those who still remain in the temple, they reacted and say that you are bearing record of thyself and thy record is not true. You are making this claim of yourself and this claim is not true. In other words, the people who were gathered in this temple understood what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. They did not question him concerning what he meant, they only merely questioned him concerning whether this record was true. So what was this claim which the Lord Jesus Christ made here? When he said, I am the light of the world. How is it that this claim was relevant in exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees? At the same time, this claim, this declaration was also so meaningful to this woman who was caught in the midst of adultery. What does it mean when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world? And this evening we want to consider three things with regard to this claim. First of all, we see how this light is the light which has been revealed. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, it is a very bold declaration. It is a statement of his authority. It is also a declaration of his power because he says, I am the light of the world. And when he says he is the light of the world, what the Lord Jesus Christ is also declaring is that he alone is the light of the world. He exclusively is the light of the world. He is the true light. That is, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can see the truth. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can see the light. He alone, I am the light of the world. You know, this is what John chapter 1 also declares. where John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of the light. And there, John chapter 1 declares the Lord Jesus Christ to be the true light. And why is he the true light? Because this would imply and suggest that there are many false lights. There are many false Christs. There would be many who would come with their own philosophy, with their ideas, who would claim to be able to give freedom and liberty to men. The light implies here that the Lord Jesus Christ will lead men into freedom. He would free them from darkness. And there are many false claims of people who claim to be able to do this. There was once a musical named Godspell, and it's a very blasphemous musical, where this musical was supposed to portray the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in a modern-day setting. And what the writer of this musical did in his introduction was he got various philosophers in the introduction of this musical to introduce various philosophies through the ages. So he got different people to represent different ideas and philosophies through the ages. And then after that came the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea that he was trying to portray with this musical was that the Lord Jesus Christ was merely another alternative philosophy amongst all the other philosophies of this world. There are many different ideas a person can live by. There are many different philosophies a person can live by. There are many leaders and examples whom you can follow. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just but one alternative to this philosophy. There are many others who can lead you into liberty. There are many others who can show you the light, show you the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just but one alternative amongst all these philosophies and ideologies. But when the Lord Jesus Christ declares here, "I am a light," he is claiming that he alone exclusively is the true light, he is the light of the world, and there's none else who can illumine the minds of the people. Christ and Christ alone is the one who can reveal God unto us, because he is the Son of God and he is very God himself. Do you know when the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "I am the light of the world"? It is the light revealed, because this is a fulfillment of messianic prophecy. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible prophesied regarding the Messiah who will come that he is the light. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined." And who is this referring to? What is this light? It is the Messiah who will come to reveal to them who God is. Now, another portion of scripture where this light is described is Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1 to verse 3. And here this light is compared to the glory of God. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, the Bible says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Here the light is compared to the glory of the Lord. Thus, when the Lord Jesus Christ declares that he is the light of the world, what is he saying? He is saying that none can know God apart from Christ, apart from him. Because God is so glorious. God is full of majesty. God is holy, righteous, and true. And who can ever reach unto God? Who can even begin to comprehend the greatness, the majesty of God? Can we even begin to comprehend what it means when God is eternal? Can we even begin to comprehend the workings of God's creation? God stands as one who is glorious, and how can man then ever know God? Unless God reveals himself unto us. The light has been revealed because the Lord Jesus Christ is this light. And it's only in Christ and Christ alone that we can see the light. Now today there are some, even Christians, who do not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way. They do not acknowledge him as the only truth and the only life. Over here in our text, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of life. That is, only through him, because he is the light of the world. Only through him you can have life. There were great preachers in the past. When I say great, I mean famous preachers in the past. But these men have blasphemed the gospel. Billy Graham was once asked on national television publicly whether a person, if he does not know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, can he get to heaven? And then he said, he remembered when he was in India, he saw these devout men praying and worshipping their gods in India. And when he saw how earnest and how fervent they were, he was unable to bring himself to say that these people are those who cannot get to heaven. So he says that he believes that there's a wideness, a broadness to the gospel, that even if somebody does not know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can still be found in heaven. But what the Lord Jesus Christ declares here is that he is the light of the world. That means he alone is this light, because he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, he is the one who was sent from God to reveal the greatness, the glory, the majesty of God, but more importantly, also the salvation of God. How can men be reconciled with God? How can men now enjoy this fellowship which we have lost, this relationship which was broken because of our sin? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. But how is this light, where the Lord Jesus Christ says he is the light of the world, who reveals God to us, how is he now able to reconcile us with God? And the Lord Jesus Christ does two things. And that's our second point. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, is not only the light which has been revealed to us, he is also the light which reveals. He is the light which exposes that which is hidden, and he is the light which expels the darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light which is revealed. But as this light, he now reveals, that is, he exposes that which is hidden. He uncovers the sinfulness and the hypocrisy of men. And this is where what the Lord Jesus Christ declares in verse 12 is very relevant to what was declared early on in the account of the woman who was caught in adultery. Now, when we read this passage, we may wonder, how does verse 12 relate to what was described earlier on? But if you consider it very carefully, you see how it is very relevant. In the account of the woman who was caught in adultery, the scribes and the Pharisees, when they brought this woman before the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, they said that it was written in the law of Moses in verse 5, that such should be stoned. And then they ask the Lord Jesus Christ, what sayest thou? And now where this is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true light, who exposes their hypocrisy. The Lord Jesus Christ initially did not respond to them, but later on, he answered them. And he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He exposed their sin and their hypocrisy. You see, the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees was this. First of all, they have misquoted and twisted scriptures. Now, if you look at the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, which they claim here, the Bible says that the one who was caught in adultery has to be put to death. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22, that both the man and the woman have to be put to death. And this same command was also given in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10. And if you go and check it up on your own, there the Bible says that both the man, the adulterer, and the adulteress shall be put to death. And this is the first problem over here. Where was the adulterer? Why is it that only the woman was brought before the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the first problem. The next thing you notice in the command that was given was that the Bible merely stated that they shall be put to death. The exact form of this death was not specified. But they say that such should be stoned. And of course, their intention was to trap and to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to expose the hypocrisy and the sinfulness in their heart. And this is what the light does. The light is able to expose. The light is able to reveal. The light is able to show who we truly are. He that hath no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ says, let him first cast a stone. And you notice how the Bible says in verse 9 that they were convicted in their conscience. This statement of the Lord Jesus Christ was able to pierce through their conscience. It exposes their hypocrisy and the sin and their sin. And this is what the light of the world does. It exposes who we are. It shows us who we truly are. Are you hiding in darkness? Are you hiding in ignorance? Because you refuse to know. You refuse to understand. Because you are afraid that if you know and if you understood, then now you have to give up your sinfulness. We have been encouraging a lot of people to study the Word of God more and more, to meditate on Scriptures more and more. But some find it a challenge. They do not want to read God's Word. Could it be that one reason why some Christians do not have this hunger and thirst for the Word of God is because they are afraid that the more they know the Word of God, the more they see the truth of God's Word, they would be pricked in their conscience. And this could be also one reason why there are some who just refuse to hear, refuse to acknowledge, refuse to see. The light of the world, it exposes and it reveals the sin that is in us. And that's what light does. Right? When you shine the light, the natural light, when you turn on the switch, it shows you everything that is around you. That which was initially hidden by the darkness and under the cover of darkness, maybe a lot of sin and crimes will be committed. But when you show the light, it exposes all these things that have been hidden. And that is what the light of the world does. It reveals who we truly are. When confronted with the holiness of Christ, when confronted with the truth which Christ has taught these people, their conscience were pricked within them. But the light doesn't just merely expose darkness. It also expels darkness. We know what darkness is. We have experienced, at least to a limited extent, what darkness is. You know, today we may not appreciate light so much because we have light so readily available to us, and we have not really experienced thick darkness, true darkness, where we live for a certain amount of time just in pure darkness without light. Now, but I remember when I was in Africa, where there are times where we would suffer blackouts, where for several days we would not have electricity. Of course, we still have this kind of torch or this lamp which we can use, but it's not as convenient as those bright lights which we would have. But even then, with these little torches that we have, it was still very inconvenient and very uncomfortable. Maybe in the evening when we have to do certain work, when we have to mark certain papers, it can be very draining. You feel very tired very easily. And then when we want to eat our meals, even because of the limited light, you don't enjoy it as much. This is what darkness does. And the Bible speaks of this kind of darkness, where the Bible says that those who walk in darkness, they will stumble in this darkness. Now, if you look at verse 12, the Bible says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, the word walk over here is very interesting because it's not the usual word for the word walk. This word walk describes somebody who is wandering about, literally walking to and fro about. And it gives us the idea of somebody who is living in darkness, walking in darkness. He's somebody who is lost, somebody who is wandering to and fro. He's unable to see where he's going. I remember when I was in army, there was once where we had an exercise, which was like a dawn attack. A dawn attack means that we have to navigate through the night, and then we reach the rally point where in the morning we would prepare for an attack on the enemy base. And in this dawn attack, it is quite exciting because you attack in the morning, and so you'll be navigating through the night. Of course, you'll be quite tired. But it's also a bit frightening because you'll be doing navigation throughout the night. So I remember that there was this person who was supposed to lead this whole platoon. There are other platoons who are also participating in the same exercise, but they have different rally points so that at the coordinated time, we will attack the base at the same time. But the one who was leading our platoon got lost. And so I remember how we were walking through the night, lost. And it's not like in a park, like in botanic gardens or something like that. It's like in the dense forest. And then there are bushes around us. And then we got lost. And so I remember we just spent the night just walking and walking and walking. And then after a while we rested. We form up in a formation. We try to find out where we were. We try to backtrack. And then we try to keep walking to find out and figure out where we were. And it was miserable because the whole night we were lost. By the time we reached the rally point, the whole exercise was over. Okay? And we just could not participate in the exercise. So, of course, we are very disappointed, miserable, okay, and very angry with the person who was leading us. Okay? We joked, if it's in real war, right, we'll shoot that person first, then enemy. Okay, of course, don't do that, right? It's just a joke. But at the time, we were just tired, you know, we have marched through the whole night, we were miserable. But that's how it's like. If you walk in darkness, you are wandering to and fro, lost. You do not know where you are going. And oftentimes, those who are wandering in darkness are blind leading the blind. And the Bible tells us in another portion, in John chapter 11, verse 10, that those who walk in darkness will stumble. They will stumble in the darkness. And there are many who are walking and living in darkness. In the darkness of their ignorance, in the darkness of their sin, in the darkness of their hypocrisy, and they are wandering to and fro, trying to find their goal, their purpose, trying to find a meaning in life. But they will keep wandering to and fro, and they will never be able to find satisfaction. They will never be able to find peace and joy because they do not have the light. But this is what the light does. Light is able to expel this darkness. When you shine this light, you know how refreshing it is. Just like after wandering, you know, when the day broke at a time, it was so refreshing. When you see the sun rising after a whole night of wandering lost in the darkness, it was so refreshing. Of course, we did not have to face wild animals. Maybe there were spiders and insects and things like that. Okay, maybe wild boars. Apparently, there are quite a number of wild boars in Tekong. These things, but that's all. We didn't have to face very dangerous wild animals, but you can imagine those who live in the wilderness, in the desert, how refreshing it would be for them when they see the light. And this is what the light does. It expels the darkness. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says he is the light of the world, not only does he expose the sinfulness of men, he now expels the darkness when he shows us the way. Have you been stumbling? Have you been falling? Have you been wandering to and fro, trying to find an answer, trying to find hope, trying to find meaning, trying to find peace, but you are lost? You go to another philosopher. But the other philosopher is as blind as you are. He is as lost in this world as you are. You try to find entertainment. You try to find some way to ignore how lost a state you are in. But you will keep wandering and wandering until you come to the light of the world. Are you still walking in your own hypocrisy and your sin? You know you cannot hide anymore because the light reveals to you and shows us who we are. It shows us the way. It exposes our very heart. We may think that no one knows. No one knows our hypocrisy. No one knows what we have been hiding. But the light reveals everything. And this is the third truth. Not only is the light revealed to us, and not only does the light reveal to us what has been hidden, but the light must be received. And in verse 12, you notice now the Bible says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And this is where the light has been received. The word "have" here in the last part of verse 12 describes somebody who now takes possession of. Somebody has received. You will receive the light of life. And it's called the light of life because it's the light which gives life. And we know how this light gives life in the natural sense. When a plant is dying because it's kept indoors for a number of days, when you put it out in the light, this light gives its life again. You know, even for human beings, if you keep a person indoor, and that's why even in prison, when some prisoners are kept in solitary confinement, they can go insane when you just keep them indoors, not being able to see the outside world. It becomes very suffocating. I mean, of course, medically, there are people who can explain that. They will say it's because it's the lack of vitamin D or things like that. So you need to go under the sun. But we know how important that light is. And the Lord Jesus Christ says here, those who follow after me, and you will not walk in darkness anymore. You do not have to stumble. You do not have to wander to and fro. But you will now receive the light of life. And this is where we come back to the account of the woman who was caught in adultery again. Because what we see over here was that the same light which exposed the hypocrisy and the sin and the guilt of the Pharisees, it was now the light of life unto the woman. Of course, the sinfulness of the woman was also exposed. The Lord Jesus Christ did not deny that the woman had sinned. The Lord Jesus Christ did not ignore the fact that she committed adultery. Yes, this light had exposed her sin. But the difference was that now this light became life for this woman. The Lord Jesus Christ says in another portion in John chapter 12, verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, but they will have life. I am come into a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness." You come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on him. He is the light of life. In our text here, the Bible says it, that you will have, you will possess, you will receive the light of life. Do you not notice that this woman found life? Now you just imagine the scene over here again. It was not just merely before the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It was before the people at the temple. We do not know how many people were gathered there. But the Lord Jesus Christ was at the temple teaching the people. And it was before the people where these Pharisees and the scribes brought this woman who was caught in adultery. You can imagine how ashamed she must have felt. How humiliated she must have felt to be exposed in front of everyone. And when all of these scribes and Pharisees, her accusers, having been exposed by the Lord Jesus Christ, they left one by one. Now the woman was left there alone. And she just stood there, silent, not saying anything, until the Lord Jesus Christ first said to her. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" Because there was none left. None else. The scribes and Pharisees were no longer there. "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And then Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Do you know what refreshing words this would have been to this woman who was humiliated, who was overwhelmed with her shame and her guilt? Yes, the light of the world, it exposes and it reveals the sinfulness of men. But the light of the world is the light of life. Where the Lord Jesus Christ told this woman, "Neither do I condemn you." Where the light of the world now is the light of forgiveness, the light of pardon. Of course, who is this Lord? Who is this person who has the authority to pardon and to forgive sin? He is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ now says, "You will have life, but go and sin no more." And imagine someone who has been living in darkness the most part of his life. And for the very first time, brightness is shone. And now he sees the light. Of course, initially, because our eyes are still adjusting to the brightness, it may be rather uncomfortable. Just like in the morning when you wake up, then you see the sun rising, when it's still dark, your eyes take a moment to adjust to the brightness. It may be a bit uncomfortable. But when you see the brightness and when you see the light, now you enjoy the light. You desire this light. You will no longer want to return to darkness. And this is what the light of the world does. For some, they will hate this light. They will reject this light. They do not like this light because it exposes who they are. Then they want to continue in their evil deeds. That's what John chapter 3 says. The light is come into this world. But men love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. So they want to continue in their evil works. There are those who do not like the brightness. But there are those who, having seen the light and the brightness, because they have experienced darkness for so long, you can imagine how refreshing, how renewing, and the life that they receive. And this must be how this woman felt at this time. Yes, there may be still a group of people who were around her, but all that mattered at this time was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And dear friends, this is the question that we have to answer this evening. Have you received this light? Because this light has shone upon you. This light has been revealed to you. And this light has revealed how sinful, how weak, how miserable we are in our sin without the Lord Jesus Christ. But this light now being given to you is brightness, is life indeed. If you come to Him, you have free and full forgiveness. No man can condemn you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gives you free and full pardon. But you can only have this light of life if you believe in Him as your Savior and your Lord. If you believe that He lived and He came into this world to live a perfect life for you. If you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, He is the light of life. Where although the world may still remind you of what a sinner you are, although the devil may still whisper in your ears, casting doubt and fear, but if you come to this light and you surrender your life to Him, you cling on to this light. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "No man condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Abide in this light." But you know, this is also for Christians. It's not just for those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are times where Christians may also be attacked of the evil one. Where the devil reminds us of our guilt. Where the devil brings back past memories of our feelings. And then at times, we are brought into despair. We wonder, how do I know that I'm good enough? How do I know that God has pardoned me? How do I know that God will forgive me? But the point was never whether you are enough. It is Christ who is the light of the world. If you are in Christ, does not His glory, His holiness, His righteousness now shine upon you? And then you know that this righteousness of Christ is also your righteousness. That when God sees Christ, He forgives you. He pardons you. This light is the light of life. Have you received this light? You can receive this light if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also a very important truth over here. When the Lord Jesus Christ says that He is the light of life, it also must mean that you must want to abide in the light. You will no longer want to return to the darkness. And that's what the second part of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman means. And this is why it's so important. Neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. When you abide in the light, you will want to remain in the light. If you ask a blind man who now has been through some technological advancement given sight, and now he's able to see the beauty of the world, see the colors of the flowers, see the faces of his friends, and he can now see the light, would he ever want to experience blindness ever again? He will not, because he has seen the light. And now we spiritually have seen the light in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must then want to abide in the light. We will no longer want to return back to darkness, the darkness of hypocrisy, the darkness of sin. And this is also where we must not allow the darkness of fear to overwhelm us, that we become ineffective in the service of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is this precious light, the light of the world, the light of life. He that followeth me, and this is an important thought, which follows up with the truth that we must go and sin no more. We will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We will continue following Him. We will not walk in darkness. Now, this is one truth that this light also means. It must mean that we will no longer allow sin to have dominion over us. And because we know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin no longer has dominion over us, we are freed from the bondage of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Yes, the presence of sin is still in our lives, and we still have to wrestle against sin. We still have to resist temptation. Yield not to temptation. But sin no longer has dominion over us. It no longer has power over us. We can follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can follow Him faithfully. We no longer have to walk in deception of sin. We are no longer blind in our sin. We have this light. But are you walking in this light? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ also says that those who are in this light have become the children of light. And although the Lord Jesus Christ says that He is the light of the world, He also declares, "Ye are the light of the world." That is, He told His disciples that they are also the light of the world. But they are light of the world in a different sense from which Christ is the light of the world. We are the light of the world in that we manifest the light which Christ has first shone upon us. We do not have the source of light in ourselves. We are not the source of light. Christ is the source of light. But we must manifest who He is, His character, His light. And are you, as a Christian today, children of light, shining forth the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. But others will not be able to see this light unless they see it through your life and in His word. But who will tell them of His word? It must be those who have this light. Dear friends, have you received this light? The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And this is the light that has been revealed. This is the light that has been promised of old. This is the true light. He is the only light. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, reveals our hypocrisy, our sinfulness. But He also expels the darkness, so that if we come to Him, we no longer have to wonder about loss in our sin. This is the light which you must receive, which having also received, you would hold on to, you would abide in, you would remain in, you would follow after Him, that you need not walk in darkness, in blindness anymore. Christ is this light of the world. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, O Thou art the great, the almighty, the eternal, the omniscient, omnipresent God. Thou art the God all holy. Thou art the God of justice and truth. And when we think of how great Thou art, we wonder, how can we even begin to know who Thou art? Yet we thank Thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the light of the world, we now know Thee, and Thou art our God. Oh, how we thank Thee for this very precious truth, that Christ is the light of the world, where in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Thou hast shown us how frail, how weak, how miserable we are in our sins, how in the past we used to be under the bondage of sin, we used to be so lost, wandering and wandering astray. But how we thank Thee that in this light, though Thou hast exposed who we are, Thou hast also given us life. Where in this light, we have received full and free forgiveness. Where in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have a glorious hope. We can look forward to eternity, to our heavenly home, where one day we would abide with our Savior in the glories of heaven, where there is no need for sun or moon, because we have the brightness of Thy own glory illuminating the place. O Lord, we thank Thee, because we know that Christ is the light of life. So, Lord, we pray You help us to walk in this light. We also want to pray for any in our midst who still have not known this light. May You help them to come to the Savior today, that in believing in the Savior, they will receive this light of life, where they will now be able to see the beauty of who Thou art. O Lord, we pray that Thou will keep these truths in our hearts. We thank Thee, and we commit and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.